Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Synergy. What a fun word to say. What is synergy? It's what we create with people when we come together with them. It's hard to come together anymore. Our technical devices, our busy lifestyles, our overfull cities that, you know what? We can't even sit next to each other on a bus because so many people have so many things in their hands. And yeah, traffic means it can take us an hour to get 20 miles away. Remember when we would walk places, when we had time, and when we came together, we looked at each other and we spoke to each other. We didn't text each other. Yeah, synergy. That's personal power. But it's based on our emotional energy. Think about the quality of your energy. Yeah, a good mood or a bad mood, there is no neutral. If you're not in any mood, you're detached, you're disconnected. That's negative energy. There is no neutral energy. So ask yourself, you know what? No, think about a really good movie that I love. Say anything. Lloyd Dobler was talking to his sister. And yeah, they're actually siblings in real life. She said, what? She was very irritated at what he was doing. He said, get in a good mood. How hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? And she got a little sneer on her face and said, gee, it's easy. Like, what the hell kind of a stupid question is that? You don't ask someone in a bad mood if they can get into a good mood. Okay, so let's breathe. Now, you know what? Breathing is good for a really important reason. When we breathe in, we actually engage our nervous system. Yeah, okay. Our sympathetic nervous system. So we get stimulated. When we exhale, that's actually our parasympathetic nervous system. It relaxes us. It used to bother me all the time when people would sit in a weird Buddha position, closing their eyes, touching their fingers on their knees and breathing. Okay, you don't have to go weird. You don't have to be profoundly meditating into some spiritual level of manifestation. Just breathe. And make sure that you breathe out more than you breathe in. Okay. That's going to get a different part of your brain engaged. I never knew that until very recently. Okay, so that's one way to get your energy more positive. But then, okay, once you've got your good energy going, how about your nervous system get into a good emotional mood? Well, what can get you into a good mood? It's easier said than done unless you know yourself. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've noticed, I haven't been on the radio for a few weeks. I actually went to Phoenix. I'm still in Phoenix. There's a little story behind that, to do some work to help out the homeless because there are three shelters down there. There's CAS, there's HSC, and there's SOS. Yeah. They really need help. The people that live there are not being taken care of. I charge a lot of money with my clients because they only need me for 3 or 4 months. So they can afford to give me a good chunk of change because it's not going to be a 10-year process. But I thought, wow, look at the way that people at these homeless shelters are being treated. They are being provoked by the people who are supposed to take care of them. So yeah, I'm going to give them some coaching. First of all, I'm going to find out, what do they really need to learn? What do they really need to know? And then what's the best way to teach them considering this setting, considering this venue? Okay. Well, all right. A little bit of what happened about 2 weeks ago. It was about 112 degrees. On the sidewalk, it'd be about 165, right, in Phoenix in the sun. If anybody has been here, they know that. Well, I hadn't been sleeping and drinking enough water. I ended up having a few seizures. Yeah, the bus didn't come on time. I ended up going to the emergency room and am in the hospital in the burn unit. Yeah, apparently it takes a while for your skin to grow back. I haven't been in the shelters coaching people. And I thought, man, I can't sit here. I'm just sitting here laying in bed. And all they're telling me is I have to wait till the skin grows back. That could take who knows how long. And they're giving me all kinds of drugs to kill the pain. And I'm like, you know what? The people that work here needed my coaching. That's what I've been doing for the last few weeks. And I've got a lot of things I want to talk to my listeners about. I want to talk to my students that listen to me on the show. Anybody who has a question today, you want to call in, the number to this station is 888-627-6008. If you're listening, bbsradio.com/thepowerofsynergy. Yeah, you can go ahead and get on the website. There's ways that you can communicate with me. Even if you want to send me an email, I have synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. A couple of times throughout the hour, I'll go ahead and look through the website. I'll look through the Gmail account. And the producer, his name is Don. He's an amazing man. He has been so wonderful and caring and loving and generous and supportive throughout this whole process. You know what? That's a very big part of the healing process. Yeah, that good, positive energy. I tell my students, one of the first things I tell my clients, there is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. There is no inertia. You are never still. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. Maybe you're moving to the side, but are you making progress and improvement as a person? Yeah. Well, you know what? How do you have that energy, that strength, that power? I love to tell people knowledge is power. Yeah, knowledge. Okay, that's information. There is an abundance of information out there. How much of it is true? How much of it is accurate? How much of it is high quality? Take a little inventory of the things in your life that you know to be true. How much do you use your knowledge as personal power? But then the next question, how much do you believe that you are responsible? Yeah, knowledge comes with a responsibility. Power comes with accountability. Whoa, okay, wait a minute now. This is getting kind of deep. Who do you believe you're accountable to? We live in a time where technology has taken away our accountability to each other. And our disdain for politics and religion means that we want our rights without any of our responsibilities. We certainly don't want to be accountable to a higher power that's going to send us to hell if we're bad. Okay. But you know what? With knowledge comes power. The things that you do that affect people, your synergy, your positive or negative energy, it's going to change the person that you're interacting with. It's going to be either in a good way or a bad way. So ask yourself, how much do you want to make people in your life, the people in your environment, better quality people with your emotional energy that will manifest in your physical behavior? Okay, we're going to be talking about some really fun themes today, but if you have any questions that are different from the topic that I'm discussing, please don't hesitate to call in. Again, 888-627-6008. So again, this is The Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. We will be right back. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach. Synergy, that's a fun word to say, and it's a great concept to contemplate. Synergy, what we create when we come together. Yeah. Look, what do we do when we come together? We interact with each other. I'm going to be talking today about personalities, the dynamics, the interaction, human interaction, activities that are just daily life activities that we might not have ever thought of before in terms of creating positive energy. Now, again, the number to this station is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions different from what I'm talking about, that's absolutely fine because I haven't been on the radio for a while. I know that. I've been doing some work at the homeless shelter. Now, the different letters of your personality, I've talked about them on many shows in the past, but I'm going to talk about them in a kind of different way today because everybody that I've been talking to at the hospitals and the recovery facilities, the burn centers that I've been staying at for the last 14 days, we've been talking about very specific activities that the employees and the residents do in their daily life. Well, are they good or are they bad? Okay. Well, when I explain to people the Myers-Briggs type indicator personality system, the profile system, it's about how everybody does every activity in life that needs to be done. The question is it natural for you, for your personality, to do those specific activities? Or are there other ones that are easier and better for you? And then the next question that begs the next question is, are you doing the things that are the most natural for you in a healthy way? Okay, now let's think about this. I'm going to give you four different letters of your personality. Now, there are four different letters of your personality, but there are two options for each one of them. So there's a total of eight letters, but we're only going to talk about the two middle letters that could be, the second letter is either S or N, and the third letter is either T or F, because those are the activities. All four of those letters, even the ones that are not your personality, are activities that you have got to do throughout the day. You are not going to succeed as a human being. You're not going to make it through life if you are not doing all of those activities. Now, okay, obviously, we can pay people to do things for us. We can just avoid doing those things, or we can do them in a really bad way. But I want you to think about this as I explain these different functions, these different activities. Ask yourself, what is natural for you to do? What do you have to motivate yourself to do? What is easy and pleasurable for you? What do you need to recover from when you're done doing it? None of these activities are bad. They are vitally important activities that everyone has to do in life if they want to succeed and get things done and go places and have things and be things and have people in your life. You've got to do all of them. But I'm going to describe them in very practical and simple ways. Usually this is about a 2-hour process for me to profile someone's personality. Okay, but now keep in mind, the first letter of your personality is your social energy. We're not going to be talking about that in any great detail today. The second letter of your personality, that's either S or N, that's either sensory or intuitive, okay, is about where you focus your attention. We've got five senses going on. Okay, that's a lot of activity going on around us. Our senses are aware of everything. But then we have an internal activity called our intuition, which is taking in all of that information and putting it together to create thoughts and feelings and ideas, concepts. Okay, now, if we're going to be focusing on our intuition, that's being internally focused. That's not the same thing as being an introvert, ladies and gentlemen. Just ask yourself, as I'm describing different activities, again, what is the easiest for you? What is the most pleasurable for you? And what do you naturally do very, very well, the best of these activities? Okay, so the second letter of your personality, which will be either S or N, but you have to do both of if you are going to make it in the world, okay? Sensing is about how much you know what's going on around you and how much really good close attention do you pay. What's going on around you. Now, one of the favorite questions of mine, personal favorites, is, do you get lost walking around the block? Because an N like me, an intuitive, would say, yeah, I can go to a place three or four times and still not remember which street. Or was it that house or that? Okay, because that kind of looks the same. I really and truly have no internal sense of direction. Sensors are very, very good with that. In fact, my husband, who's a sensor, he does not even need the GPS. And when he's delivering food for Uber Eats, he knows that he can get to a place that, you know, that stupid phone, that computer there, they're not even telling you what this place here is on the street, because they don't know what's on the street. I've been on that street, and when you do this, because right now it's undergoing construction, they remember everything. And again, they only have to go somewhere once, maybe twice, and they will remember the color of the house. Yeah, that was over there. Actually, no, it was over there. Okay. So if you can get lost fairly easily, you're probably an intuitive. If you're really good with directions, you're sensory. The second question I like to ask people, okay, so if you've got some scary looking food in front of you, do you want to eat it? A sensor would say, yeah, I want to see how bad it tastes. Simply for the stimulation, the experience, the stimulation. And yeah, they want to have that very real experience. An intuitive would be able to say, okay, that looks like something very horrible that I had the other day, and I remember what it tasted like, and I know exactly why. I do not like that flavor. I don't need to. Yeah, I'm gonna eat what I like, what I know for a fact I'm comfortable liking. Okay, so that's important little detail there. A sensor really and truly does appreciate experience for its own sake. Okay, yeah. Because you can learn so much from the experience. It's absorbing all of that information that you see and hear and smell and touch and taste. That's what life is about. Now, think about this. Again, ladies and gentlemen, all of those things are going on all the time around us. And all of the pieces, like puzzle pieces that I described it as, that our senses are acquiring, accumulating, and providing to our intuition, that doesn't stop. It doesn't turn off even when we're asleep. The intuition is also simultaneously going on, thinking, okay, so how do those things connect to each other? What do they mean? How can I use that in a future sense? Which begs the next question, one of my favorite questions. Do you think more about right here, right now? Or do you think more about the future, what could or would or might be? Because something, the big picture context of the principle relating to this, could potentially turn into that, because it means that this is going on. I'm sorry, is that for me? The thing you just put in front of me, what is that? Because intuitives are very much about what's going on in their mind, because it's creating the pieces of the entire life. They really do want to understand the big picture of the profound meaning of the connectedness and why. Yeah, you know what? A sensor, they can't really anticipate what's going to go on in 2 days, because that's not 2 days away. That's 48 hours away. Do you have any idea how much can go on in 48 hours? Yeah, that's a lot of time that you can do a lot of things personally experiencing. Okay, yeah. So again, the number to the station here, if you have a question, 888-627-6008. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about thinking and feeling. Now, again, keep in mind the words themselves, thinker or feeler. Thinkers are not more intelligent than feelers, and feeler does not mean excessively emotional. When we come back, I'm going to explain the different dynamics of thinking and feeling in the decision-making process, because you in life are going to have to do certain things that are thinking activities, certain things that are feeling activities. But when you understand the virtue, the inherent value of both of those activities, again, the question is, what's easy for you? What do you very, very well do for extended periods of time? And what brings you pleasure? Okay, My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on VBS Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on VBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so we're talking about intuiting and sensing. Everybody has to do those activities. We have to pay attention to what's going on around us, and we have to process the information that what's going on around us has provided to us. But the third letter of our personality is how we make decisions. We're either thinker or feeler. These are tough questions to answer, probably because we come from a culture that values one more than the other. Okay, now, they're both absolutely vital. Come on, people. What's more important, your brain or your heart? They're both vitally equal to each other. Okay, we need both of them to be functioning in very high quality. Yes. Again, I brought it up before, it's not about some being good things and some being bad things. They are all very good things. It's just a question of how high quality is your performance in each of those capacities. Okay, so now when it comes to thinking and feeling, the decision-making process is about, are you going to analyze information to be logical, rational, analytical, or are you going to be humanitarian and nurturing and encouraging and supportive to people? Okay, so again, let's clarify. Oh, and the number to the station again is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions, please feel free to call in. Okay, so when you're making a decision, being a thinker doesn't mean you're smart. Donald Trump is a thinker and he's really stupid. Now, being a feeler doesn't mean you're overly emotional. It doesn't mean you're overly emotional. It just means you're very caring and sensitive. Like Oprah Winfrey, she's a feeler. Okay, now when we have, you know what? When we have decisions to make in life, we are going to have to do smart things. We are going to have to be intelligent, but sometimes being nurturing and caring is a very intelligent thing to do. The only thing we need to remember is sometimes when we are going to make a decision, being good and nurturing and loving and generous is not going to add up on paper. Okay, so let's reconcile that first of all. Let's reconcile that in our minds that you can be a feeler and brilliant. You can be a thinker and very, very generously caring, nurturing. But the fact is, one of them is going to be easier naturally for you. How important is it for you to do what's natural, what's easy, what you're good at? It's vitally important for the simple reason that nature has given you gifts and talents and strengths and abilities based on what the world needs from you. You will have the ability, the capacity naturally to do some things simply better than others. Certain activities more than others. All of the activities can either be good or bad based on how they are done by you, but the activities themselves are not bad things to do. And I kind of went over the sensory and intuitive activities, but with the thinking and feeling, these are the questions that I like to ask people. When you are going to make a decision, how important is it for you to make sure everything you're doing makes rational sense? Then you're probably a thinker. Yeah, that means you want to understand the concepts Yeah. You want to really understand why things are the way that they are, because then you can be logical and intelligent. You don't want to be stupid. You know what? Feelers, they're not judgmental. So they would say, I'm not being stupid. I'm being loving. I'm being caring. How important is it for you to put others' needs before your own as the decision? Not when you're accumulating information, not when you're learning things, not when you're discussing things, when it comes right down to you taking the time to make the decision, the final, absolutely, this is what we're going to do now decision. How important is it for you to put others' needs ahead of your own? Yeah, a feeler would say very much, because giving is what nurtures my soul. A thinker would say, I'm not going to do what makes you happy unless it's an intelligent thing to do. Okay. Okay. Which then begs the next question that I love to ask people. When you have to give people bad news, that's the truth. How hard is it for you to give people bad news? Would you avoid telling someone information simply because you don't want to be the source of their pain? A thinker would say, yeah, it's going to make me sad to make you sad. But you know what? The truth hurts. And that's just part of being an adult. That's part of being mature and responsible. You have to accept the truth. Yeah, Jack Nicholson said a great line in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. Okay, yeah. Thinkers, they're okay being brutally honest with you. Another question that I ask people: if you had to perform surgery on someone and it would save their life, and I promised you, here's the book, you will have the ability to save that person's life. You just don't know how to do it yet, but here's all the tools. Here's all the instructions. You can take your time. Just do a good job. Oh, by the way, there's no painkiller, so they're going to feel everything that you're doing to them. Okay. How distracted would you be by their pain away from learning how to do this and this way with this particular tool, doing this one? If they were screaming and crying every time you did something to them, would it hurt your heart so much that you wouldn't be able to read? Then you're probably a feeler. A thinker would say to the person, look, I'm really sorry this is hurting, but you're making it worse. Okay, can you please stop screaming? All right, well, that's good to know. Now, when I tell people, the sensing, the intuiting, the thinking, and the feeling. Yeah, we all have to do those different things. Again, there is what's easy for you, what brings you pleasure, and what you do well. A lot of times we would think, yeah, okay, well, if it brings us pleasure, we'll do it well. That's not true. There are four levels of activity, and that's why even the activities that are not your personality, if you're an S, you still have to do N things. If you're a T, you still have to do F things. You have got to do four different levels of activities. One is the dominant level, one is the auxiliary level, one is the tertiary level, and one is the inferior level. What you need to understand right now is, again, I said it before, nature has distributed these different activities to different people in different ways because some of them need to get done more than others. The number one activity that needs to be done is sensing. The next activity that needs to be done in the world is thinking. The next activity that needs to be done is intuiting, and then feeling. So personalities that, you know what, sensing is their dominant function. There are more personalities with sensing as their dominant function than feeling personalities with their dominant function. Now, let me ask you something. What do you believe is more harmful to you? Doing what you're not or not doing what you are? Okay, there's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior. Your dominant function, you need to do your dominant function for 50% of your waking day. And I tell people getting good 8 hours of sleep means that you get 16 hours of waking time. You need to do your dominant function for 8 hours a day. You need to do your auxiliary function for about 25% of your day. That's 3 to 4 hours a day. You need to do your tertiary activity for 15 to 20% of your day. That's 2 to 3 hours a day. And then your inferior function should only be 5 to 10% of your daily activity, 1 to 2 hours. You really shouldn't do your inferior activity more than 2 hours a day. Now, think about this, people. Again, when I say, what's more harmful to you, doing what you're not or not doing what you are? Yeah, you know what? Actually, doing what you're not. And I'll explain that in a minute. But what's more harmful to people? Not doing what you are. Because think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If you have the capacity to do feeling things, yeah, the world needs feeling activities to be done. But you know what? You happen to come from a place, a family, a culture, whatever, where feeling is criticized and it's judged. You stop doing things that are your feeling activity, their dominant function, because you don't want to have to deal with all of the garbage that comes with that kind of social rejection. Well, look, here's the bottom line. You need to do your dominant function for 8 hours a day because it's like breathing for you. If you are not doing your dominant function, you're doing another activity, you are not breathing. Okay. Now I'll explain the other levels, the three other levels, the auxiliary and the tertiary and the inferior levels that need to happen in certain amounts, certain percentages of your daily activity time, because those are things like walking, they're eating, they're running. They're certainly very active activities. They're beneficial. They are helpful and healthy activities for you to do, but you still should not do them in excessive amounts. It's very important for you to not have that unbalanced distribution, not only of your time, but of your energy and attention and your strength and your focus. Okay, so I'm not going to get into too much detail about this. Again, if you have a question about what I'm saying, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. The producer, his name is Don. He's a really fun guy. He's a really cool guy to talk to. But again, just because it's not what I'm talking about in the show doesn't mean you can't ask. Okay, so if you want to talk about something a little off topic, that'd be fine too. Now, the dominant function that you need to spend 50% of your day doing is like breathing. Yes, you absolutely have to do it, because whatever the letter is, it could be S, it could be N, it could be T, it could be F. You are literally providing yourself with the energy and the strength to do everything else in your life when you do that activity. Okay, so when you have your auxiliary function, that's like eating. Okay, so the dominant function was automatic and it was pleasurable and you do it well. The auxiliary function, it's not automatic. You do it well and it is pleasurable for you, like eating. But in order for you to do your auxiliary function in a healthy way, you need motivation, like hunger. Something in your life needs to be telling you, yeah, you know what? You need to do this. Unlike breathing, your dominant function, you just do it. You literally have to force yourself to stop doing it. Ah, okay. So hunger, your auxiliary function, you need to do that for about 4 hours a day. Find out what that activity is for you and create a lifestyle that affords you the opportunity to do those activities in a nicely, evenly distributed way throughout your life. It's nice if you can, for 4 hours of eating, actually do about an hour, right, at a time, or you could snack all day long. The point is you're nourishing yourself and you are providing a service to the world by being who you are, taking care of yourself. There we go. Okay, so now the third level, the tertiary level, that's like walking. Okay, you know what? That's not a hard thing to do. It's just annoying. Okay. So when we're talking about your tertiary letter, you really shouldn't do it for more than 15 to 20% of your day. Let's think about that logistically, 3 to 4 hours a day. If you are walking, if you have a lifestyle where you are walking for 3 to 4 hours a day, you know what? That could be 4 or 5, 6 miles. Yes, it's a good thing to do. Your tertiary activity is a good thing to do as an activity in and of itself. But when it's on someone else's dominant level, they can do it, like breathing. The fact that for you, you do need to exert some effort. So the dominant, it was automatic, it was pleasurable, and you did it well. Well, the auxiliary, it wasn't automatic, but it was pleasurable and you did it well. Okay, the tertiary, you can do it well, but it's not going to be automatic and it's not going to bring you the pleasurable gratification that breathing and eating will. So that's why when it comes to time, you need to limit your time walking. You don't want to do it for more than is truly necessary. Just do it in a healthy way. See, there we go. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. If you have a question about those activities, past what I talk about here, please don't hesitate again to call into the station, 888-627-6008. Now, the last level, the very bottom level, we are talking about the inferior function. That's like running. Okay, so that automatic, you do it naturally very well, it brings you pleasure. No, your inferior function, it's not automatic. And you don't do it really, really well. And it doesn't bring you inherent pleasure. With the inferior level of activity, you need motivation to start, you need compensation to finish it, and you need restoration. You literally need to recover after you do it if you do it for more than 1 to 2 hours a day. Wow. Okay. So running is not a bad thing to do per se, up to a certain point. And the same is true with healthy, good, emotionally balanced activities like sensing, intuiting, thinking, and feeling activities. Those are all very good activities, but for your personality, it's not good for you to do certain activities. And that's okay. That doesn't make you a bad person and it doesn't make you mentally ill. Please just remember that everybody has to do everything that's not their personality. Just don't do it too much. Because again, when you're doing something that's not naturally your gift and talent and strength and ability, you're depriving the world of something amazing. Yeah, and then you're doing something that's not, you're not going to do it as well. You're not going to have as high of quality, and you're not going to be able to provide it in the same quantity. And so when you know yourself and you know how to take care of yourself and you understand why things are, most of the people in your life, when you explain it to them, they're okay with that too. And when you say to them, I need what you have and what you are, they actually say, wow, really? Not only do you like it, you approve of it, you appreciate it, and you respect it, and you trust it. That's where the synergy comes in. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get together with people and you say to them, I love who you naturally are, what you do, and the way you do it makes the world a better place. Who you naturally are makes me a better person. Wow, you know what? That's a whole lot more motivational than judging them and criticizing them and calling them names and yelling at them and swearing at them. Wouldn't you agree? Again, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't rocket science. We can conceptually understand these principles, but okay, how do we do that? That sounds pretty easy to do. Well, obviously, easier said than done. What are different activities and what are going to be the easiest things for the people around me? We're going to go ahead and we're going to take another quick break. Again, if you have a call, a question, 888-627-6008. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. As a relationship coach, I teach people how to be very high quality in the things that they do. Yeah, but more importantly, the things that they are. Their thoughts and feelings that are the source of their behavior. I'm talking today about the different activities that all humans have to do. We have to do these things because the world demands that they get done. But your personality, your gifts and talents, your strengths and abilities, some things are just going to be easier for you than others. The question now, though, is, it looks like we have a caller. My producer just said that Pauline from New York. Hey, okay. So, Pauline, did you have a question or a comment that you wanted to contribute to the discussion today?
I actually just tuned in. I thought you were haven't been on for a while, so I didn't even think you were going to be live. So I said, okay, let me call in. I barely remember what I read about you because it was every single time I read it, and then you weren't on, so something else came up. But I'm actually, do you have any, it's about a relationship, and I've been on this journey called the twin flame journey. I know it's supposed to be about yourself connecting to your own inner feminine and masculine before you ever go out. Maybe you have a show that I should refer back to because I didn't even look at the list of shows that you've ever done. I should because sounds like it's just that I'm just too busy. I'm always flitting around. I call on many PBS shows, and so I'm like, oh, shut up, and maybe I should hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Okay, well, let me just say to you first of all, yes, you know what, actually. I've been on the radio for about, Pauline, I think I've been on the radio for about 5 years total. Now I have been with, BBS Radio for, I think we're coming up on my 4 year anniversary here. I started out on KKNW in Seattle. I don't know if KKNW actually has archived shows, but yes, BBS Radio has all of my shows archived. And so the fact that as a relationship coach, I've been doing this for about 19 years now. Every single week, I do pick a different theme. There have only been a couple of weeks where I've literally just had callers and not discussed a theme. Most of the time, my show on this station is like the Dr. Phil show or the Oprah show, where I say something and then there's people go away with the information that I've given them. When they ask me a question, I have different venues that people can use, like on LinkedIn. I'm usually active on LinkedIn. If you want to ask me a specific advice question, then you can do that. But my show every week is live. If there was a specific question you wanted to ask
today. I touched base with Dr. John Gray, and I know that he's a relationship also person, but he comes from a different point of view in a way, but it's kind of interesting. But I'm trying to learn what you are about and what your credentials, not that the credentials matter. I mean, experience, a lot of us have, like you said, you get callers and they comment too. They have maybe something to share with the audience.
Well,
yeah, so I don't really know. I just,
my approach. And again, because all of my shows for BBS are archived, you can go into the website for the radio station and you can listen to everything I've ever done. And yeah, I've covered probably about 35 different topics. But for me, the way that I approach relationships is you absolutely have to know yourself because yes, you have to take care of yourself. But the only way you'll be able to take care of yourself is if you understand, because again, that begs the next question. Can you ask people for what you need? That's the bottom line. In relationships, you have to be able to not only be honest with people, but you have to be respectful and very considerate. You have to be nice to people when you're talking to them, but you have to know specifically what it is that you need from people and then say to them, okay, this is genuinely the situation that I'm in. When people say, you got to put the mask on yourself first. Yes. You do. And then when you have done that, what are you bringing to the relationship where you can say to people, I am now higher quality for you. What do you need from me? Or to say to them, you know what? I need you to help me put the mask on myself.
But the mask part is not exactly a good analogy because you know what? A lot of people put on masks about who they are. They don't really show who are until they're deep in a relationship. And when the shit hits the fan, they run away because they can't handle the triggers. or the other person doesn't want to trigger you. And I said, please trigger me. I need to know what I need to heal. That's what I finally said to the person that I really, I had met somebody. I demanded the universe send me the my partner, whoever that partner is, because I really want it. Yeah. And I thought I was ready at the time, 20 years, it was in 2000. Can you imagine? I finally got divorced and we're both free, but it's like something happened where we both needed to work on ourselves. And I think we didn't want to impose on each other or drop a lot of crap into each other's laps to deal with. So we just did our own thing. And, but then you still have to go in the trenches and work because you're never going to. Trigger what yourself. If you find a relationship that's hunky-dory, everything's like in la-la land and you're romantic, it's not about that for me. Whoever my partner is, we're going to be doing some mission together, and I know this person is the one, but they're afraid to go forward. And I have to just, it crushes me because I could tell they're pushing people away, saying, I'm happy being by myself, which is exactly what you should be in the beginning. You need to be that way. You need to love yourself enough and be by yourself.
But then
if you close your heart off because you're afraid to take a chance again, when you know this person is not going to hurt you, but you don't want to open the doors to see what your nonsense is that you need to heal. And you both are going to need it. And that's what I'm discovering. But you got to have the wherewithal and even the time to take time out when you know you're going to, like, get emotional. You think you're not emotional.
Yes.
But then when they're like distant like that and they're non-attached, it really annoys the hell out of me. And then I notice whenever he says anything, it's like it stems from my father, how I wanted to please my father, get his attention, get loved by him. It's really, I'm starting to see the subconscious stuff that's coming up. And this is really the time. The astrology even, I don't know if you follow astrology, but sun is in Cancer, and the moon was in Cancer. Now we're going into Leo, so now we get a little reprieve, thank God. The emotional stuff, have a little fun. You know, you got to laugh and have fun and enjoy nature and not just be about healing, because it could be such a drudgery.
Right. But you've brought up like four different very important topics.
I know. I've been thinking about all this and been dealing with it and hoping, but it's like I keep thinking about the other person and I need to stop that. I need to focus on me.
Okay.
But whatever it is that I'm like, I know in my life path, I would love a partner and I know it will work well, but until I get the triggers out but the only way I can have to practice. Now I can't practice with, they won't refuse to practice with me. So how do I do that?
Colleen, then let me just say right now, I can actually give you the question that will help you with what you just very succinctly expressed right now. And by the way, thank you for that. Because what I tell people, there is a, what's the problem here? Okay, when you're talking about the trigger or something that it brings up, I ask people, you have to specify what is that exact activity. And it sounds like you know yourself well enough to see at least when you are being triggered, you're aware of it. That's good. But I say it's one of three choices. Number one, is what that person doing to you a lower function for your personality? It's just something that comes with the territory of, like you said, astrology. I consider it personality. Is it just going to be something that you are always going to have a hard time with? I would give you some advice on that. Or I would say, did it trigger some experience that you have in life that you need to resolve, that you need to actually go all the way back to the source of that, that has nothing to do with what that person is doing now? It has nothing to do with the activity. It's about your personal experience. Or do you have a lifestyle that reduces the quality of your functionality? You might need to make some lifestyle changes based on your personality to be different.
I think everything you just said, all of it, but I go deeper than that. I have many lifetimes where I wasn't even on this planet, and I know I was involved with this person. So that I cannot, that goes deeper. But first, like you said, first do the first layer of the onion. You go deeper and deeper, and that's one thing, one little baby step at a time, right?
There you go.
It might be part of the timeline where when you heal this present moment, just be in the present moment, right? You heal that and all that stuff takes care of itself.
Honey, it does. You're absolutely right. Yes, because when you stay centered, and this is the other thing I tell people, a lot of people appreciate the principle of balance, but I say it's a principle of being centered, because being balanced is external. It's when we manage what's going on around us. When we're centered, it's when we get our mind and our heart and our body in alignment. And you understand that because you are a very spiritual woman. And yes, as you learn different things and you understand what those things are, then you will have a better quality. You will have that better quality understanding, which will immediately fix the way that you do things. And like you said, those other facets manifest in a healthier way on their own. You really do have to trust and surrender, knowing that when you are being high quality, other things will take care of themselves organically, very naturally. You are absolutely right.
Thank you. That's to help me say it out loud, help me figure out.
Yes.
It seems very overwhelming to hear myself talk like that. I can chase my tail forever if I wanted to, but the physical aspect, I'm clearing my space so I can move. And I know there's also an aspect of where I moved to. This is my original hometown. Yep. This is where I was born. So I think I need to take care of it all now here. And
you do. And especially if you, like you said, if you're verbalizing it right now, that means it is time for you. You are mentally now focused, you are emotionally resilient, and you are physically energized to do it. Now absolutely is the time. Good for you. I'm very proud of you.
No thinking about it. Action, right? Action. No more talking. No thinking.
Yes.
Thank
absolutely.
You so much for helping me.
You're
help
so
me
welcome.
Figure this out. I appreciate you're, it. Thank you.
Have a wonderful rest of your day. You're welcome, Polly. Okay, so that was great. Now, I'm so glad she asked that question. We only have about 2 minutes left before the end of the show. And what I want people to understand is getting yourself into a very high quality state of mind is vital to get your emotional energy positive. Yes. Now, when you know your true nature and understand how to take care of yourself in a very, very healthful way, you can say to whoever or whatever is going on around you, demanding your time and attention, I'm going to get my thoughts and my feelings into a high quality state. When I come back to you after I have put the mask on myself in a healthful way, what I will provide to you will be exponentially, not just more, but better. Ladies and gentlemen, would you rather have an ounce of gold or a ton of fertilizer? Yeah, think about you. Do you know that you are golden? No, you are platinum when you are high quality, because then what you are doing with, to, for, and around the people, the world around you, what you will provide will make their lives better. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no neutral energy. You are either positive or negative. You have power for synergy. Is your power helping or hurting other people? Who do you believe you're accountable to? Yeah, those are all vital questions. Thank you so much again for listening to the show today. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.